This is The Naked Scientist with Chris Smith and me, Sarah Castor-Perry. Still to come, Diana O'Carroll asks why umbilical cords don't get tangled up in the womb in our question of the week, and the scientific advisor on the recently released blockbuster Contagion talks to us about his involvement in the film.
But first, the more that we learn about Neanderthals, the more fascinating they seem to become. Much of our understanding comes from a remarkable site on the south coast of Jersey called Les Côtes de Saint-Brélade. Here, archaeologists have found piles of butchered bones, suggesting that animals were literally driven over cliffs to kill them. Planet Earth podcast presenter Richard Hollingham has been to see it.
I'm just clambering over the rocks, and it's a spectacular landscape. Over to my right is almost white, long, sandy beach that runs right across the bay out to the headland. And then behind me, these enormous granite cliffs, almost like towers, coming out straight from the rocky shoreline. And Matt Pope is here from University College London. Now, Matt, this is world class, really.
Yeah, this is one of very limited number of sites in the prehistoric world that document long-term occupations by ancient humans. It's part of a wider pattern that we see over the world. Sometime after 600,000 years ago, where humans start on a long-term basis to colonise fixed places in landscapes, and usually that means caves.
Now, we're looking out over the English Channel under a very heavy cloud today, and if we go back, I don't know, 60,000 years, 100,000 years, this wouldn't have been water here.
No, if we're going back into the last ice age, into the Devensian, the sea level would have been much lower. And what we would have been looking at is not a flat, featureless plain, but a landscape of granite bluffs, steep-sided granite ravines, all feeding in to a river valley system that ultimately feeds into the large English Channel River that would have run down the middle of the land under the sea today.
The caves can only be reached at low tide, and even then it's a difficult scramble across the rocks. At the top, Matt and his colleagues are scraping away at the ground with small archaeologist trowels.
Wow, is that quartz?
No, it's flint. My name's Dr. Martin Bates. I'm from the University of Wales, Trinity St. David in Lampeter, and I'm a geoarchaeologist.
So what is this we're looking at? It looks just like a piece of flint.
It's a piece of flint that's been chipped off a core. That flat surface on the top there, is where somebody's hit it down there, and it's broken off.
So this is only about the size of your thumbnail here,
yep.
Martin.
Yep.
How do you know it's not just a little bit of flint? How do you know that's been made?
Flint doesn't occur naturally here. Any bit of flint that's on this site must have been brought in by somebody.
My name is Karen Rubens and I'm a PhD student at the University of Southampton. Les Côtes de Saint-Brélade is a site that everybody learns about as an undergraduate. Everybody knows it. It's such an important site for megafauna hunting. Everybody knows the story that Neanderthals used to drive mammoths off the cliff here, and they have huge bone heaps under the arches. But then if you come here and you have to walk on the beach, on those pebbles, you have to climb around, and then you come around the corner and you can see the scale of it and the massive amount of sediment and rubble that is still here. It's very impressive and it's very difficult to describe, because even if you see pictures, you can't imagine the scale.
Of course, the thing that is really captivating about the site are the piles of fauna, piles of mammoth and piles of butchered rhinoceros, and trying to envisage what the site was like then. Now, we're pretty sure it was still enclosed, or at least partially enclosed at that stage. And also the site would have been much fuller. And so you're within a cave environment with a solid roof. They're bringing, we think, in these elements of mammoth skull, mammoth ribs into the site, and they're carrying out napping there. We also know that there's ash and burnt bone as well. So at this stage, if you're imagining it, within a very cold environment, sea levels are very low. They found an area of shelter here that they're using for the sharing of meat, for the butchering of animals, for making flint tools, and they're also burning material, potentially bone.
Just being here and just talking to the three of you, you could sense the sort of excitement and you're finding things. We've been here, you know, between the tides, 3 hours or so, and yet you found a couple of pieces of flint, you just found a little tooth, you know, it's exciting stuff.
Well, it's an incredibly rich site, and that's why you know, our excitement, we hope, can now translate into preserving it for future generations. And that's going to take a lot of work. And this is just the first stage in stabilising the site and working with the site owners to effect a long-term preservation solution here.
Gosh, I absolutely want to go there now. University College London archaeologist Matt Pope ending Richard Hollingham's report from Jersey. And you can hear more about the project in a special edition of the Planet Earth podcast, which you can find on our website at nakedscientists.com/planet Earth. Sarah.